Hello and welcome. I'm Tara, the founder of Raising Resilient Children. I support parents with the tools and skills they need to become the parent they want to be. Using my signature framework, The Language of Kindness, and Parent Clues for Problem Solving, I teach you ways to make parenting easier while fostering connection and building essential life skills for resiliency. As a longtime educator, former preschool owner, and parent, I have been working with parents and children for over 20 years. From this experience, I know there is no cookie-cutter approach to parenting, and information can be overwhelming. Let's tackle some of this by having some important conversations and digging into some different topics. It's funny that the weather today seems to have coincided with knowing that I was going to be recording about the holidays. So a little background before I dig into this week's topic about the holidays, specifically things like Santa and that little elf and some of the celebrations that go along with Christmas. For those of you who don't know, I grew up in the Middle East until middle school, and then I later worked there as an educator for a couple of years when I met my husband. I have been very fortunate to have been exposed to a lot of cultural traditions growing up. As a part of that, I have friends who shared their stories with me and insights over the years. I think one of the cool things about where I grew up was this idea that we all shared in celebrations. So I learned a ton about things like Ramadan and Eid, and friends always wished me well during the holiday season, even if it wasn't something that they celebrated. So this experience really shaped me as a person, and it's something that I brought to being an educator working with diverse students over the years. So fast forward to when I owned a preschool, I noticed that every year I was moving further and further away from the traditional approaches to the holidays. I started to rethink things like Santa and gift giving, the elf, because it became more and more important to me that I support a variety of people. And it also brought forward some values and some insights and thoughts that I realized I don't actually support, and they didn't align with my parenting or my educational philosophy. Ultimately, if you've been listening to me, you know that the value I am most committed to is kindness. Authentic kindness rooted in empathy and awareness. Empathy is that layer of understanding that isn't just about thinking about other people, it's about thinking about how other people feel. Next week, I have Caitlin of Kind Cotton on my podcast, and we're going to dig into this piece a little bit more deeply. So for today's episode, I'm actually adapting a blog I wrote last year and turning it into a conversation here, because I think there is something that has always been really important to me, and that is that not everything we do or know is bad. That you don't have to completely toss out traditions and push people aside in your new approaches to parenting, that there is a way to strike a balance. Actually, now that I say that, I want to pause here for just a second, because this is something that I think a lot about, especially when I talk to my parents. And I hear how their generation is feeling like they've been cast aside, that they feel a bit worthless because they've made parenting choices that are no longer considered the right way of doing things. I'm not talking about physical abuse here or serious trauma. I'm talking about parents who didn't know how to use language effectively, didn't know about emotional regulation, didn't have as much consumerism to navigate, way less research in general, and they typically worked together as a community to raise children. Basically, people who were doing their best with the tools they had access to. I also acknowledge a lot of that generation doesn't want to change. But I have some thoughts here too. In part, they don't want to change because they are being told that they are really bad parents, that they screwed up everything. We don't typically want to do things differently when we hear we are bad. Sound familiar? Just like our children. They don't want to change when all they hear is negative. It's also a well-known fact that it's really hard to be open-minded the older you get. This isn't to suggest you shouldn't draw up some boundaries or put in place some new approaches. Just something to ponder. Are we being open-minded by shutting them out? Or are we stuck in singular thinking too? Just a different type of singular thinking. The world is full of different personalities, and part of shaping our children is exposing them to this and building their awareness around it. Okay. So let's get to how this relates to this week's topic. One of the reasons I think about the holidays differently is because of my diverse upbringing. It's also where I land with some of my parenting advice. It's not about this or that. It's about some of this and a little of that and put them together. So this conversation is going to be exactly that. How do we take our evolving understanding of child development and blend it with traditions we know and love? Modern parenting is hard. Because a lot of times you are forging these new paths. My goal in this conversation is to make that path a little less weedy. In other words, how can we tweak what you are already doing or know about to benefit you, your child, and still have fun this holiday? Spoiler alert, you might actually find it makes your parenting in the holidays easier. So let's dig into a conversation about Santa and that little elf with a mind for supporting your parenting in a way that's positive and productive. First, some hard truths. The traditional concepts around Santa and the surveillance elf are teaching children unkindness and reinforcing behavior in really ineffective ways. So this is something we've learned and now know. But as someone who loves a little bit of magic and truly enjoys spreading joy, when I started to think about these traditions, it was a really, really hard pill to swallow. What I started to realize was that the whole holiday story was a bit shaming. Like, are you naughty or nice? Let's be honest, we're all a little bit naughty and nice. There's no such thing as perfection. And what does that even mean? So, knowing the story that Santa has a history of keeping a list about children who are naughty and nice, and then determining their present worthiness based on that list, what do we do with this information? It is super tempting to use it to control behavior. If you don't behave, you'll end up on the naughty list and you're not going to get any presents. So we know this doesn't actually work. It's way too abstract. The consequence has nothing to do with the behavior. And generally, it lends itself to more problematic situations. So where do I think this idea came from? The holidays are overexciting. Children have a hard time regulating. What's more effective than threats? Oh, wait. We've learned that threats aren't actually very effective at all. But again, this is a newer way of thinking and understanding, so it's not surprising it would be built into an age-old system, because that's how things were done. Right? Children were meant to be seen and not heard. Now let's think about this on a really practical level. How often could one really follow through with that threat? I have this phrase in my program, say what you mean and mean what you say. When it comes to behavior, reinforcement, and consequence, double standards will bite you every single time. Like if you don't behave, you'll lose your presence. This isn't a consequence most parents want or could even attempt to follow through on. There's this whole other issue. What happens if it's December 1st? What are you going to do for the other 24 days? Okay, I think I've given you a little insight into why we might want to start rethinking some of these kinds of traditions. Now, let's build the story out with some language you can use, but doesn't lose sight of the magic or some of the tradition. Hey, did you notice that Santa is really good at making people happy and spreading joy? I want you to know, no matter what choices you make, I will always love you. Sometimes we all do naughty things, but here's the important part. We can always problem solve those things together. So in this house, nobody will ever find their name on the naughty list because there isn't anything you can do that we can't work on together. So as you can see, you can't change the story, but you can change the narrative. And it recognizes that different people might have different takes, and that's okay. In this house, we do this. In our family, we celebrate this. And now for a quick break to tell you about something special. Are you looking for a fun way to introduce emotional regulation and the importance of building tools for your feelings? Introducing The Adventures of Teen Brain, a comic picture book with a playful take on emotional regulation. Your child will become the superhero in their own teen brain story. They will learn how to handle the daily stress storms of life, ways of keeping their emotions brain from evolving into T-Rex level dino brain, and see how fun and important it is to build tools and skills for their feelings. This adventure was playfully brought to life by social-emotional expert and founder of Raising Resilient Children, Tara Grado, and Amazon best-selling cartoonist, Jerome Cabanatan. Find it worldwide on Amazon or head to the show notes to purchase your copy. Now, let's get back to the show. This approach is really reflective of my signature framework, The Language of Kindness. The idea that there is no good or bad, instead there is kind and unkind, where unkindness always has a path for fixing mistakes while still being held accountable. Okay. So let's tackle another example. How about that mischievous elf who is the world's biggest tattletale? An example of language for this one might look like, hey, when XYZ elf visits our house, They are here to spread holiday joy. We believe in kindness and that when we are unkind, it's important to fix that. That's not the elf's job. That's our job to do together. I know the stories talk about how they are Santa's watchful eye. But you know what? In this home, we don't support tattletales. It's not very kind. You can also say respectful. Also remember, when we think about that naughty list, our elf has nothing to report on because we problem solve that stuff together. So our elf is here to spread Christmas joy without being a tattletale. So as you can see, we don't have to abandon the fun factor, but you can add an element of changing up the narrative to be more in line with your parenting goals. I'll never forget having this conversation with friends one year and the different thoughts, feelings, level of comfort and discomfort. But there was one part that was really not sitting well with most of the people in the conversation, and it was this. That super intense rule about touching resulting in loss of magic. So first, kids are curious and they explore things with their hands. So it's pretty problematic that we would want something that clearly looks like a toy not to be touched. It's almost literally an impossible temptation. And I'm pretty sure a lot of kids are secretly touching the elf just to see what happens. And guess what? The thing that is supposed to happen doesn't because you didn't see them touching it. This highlights one of the most problematic pieces of the whole thing. What if you don't see? What if you see one kid and not another? And so on. It's all about you needing to be hypervigilant and monitoring. That's not building skills for self-autonomy, and as you can imagine, it's pretty exhausting. Anyhow, one way you could approach this if you are concerned about the elf getting ruined or whatever the case may be, you could make the connection that the elf is a holiday activity, not a toy. It's more like a model or a decoration. You could say something like, in this home, it's okay if they are touched here and there, but here's the important thing. If the elf moves too much and gets lost, then we won't be able to see what hilarious mischief it gets into, or we won't be able to play the game anymore. So let's always make sure that it gets back to where it belongs and that we are always using gentle hands with it. Many years ago, after this conversation, after the one I was actually just referring to, one of my preschool clients gifted me an alternative. So if you're looking for something a little bit same, like magical concept, but a totally different approach, there is a product made by a small business called the Kindness Elves by Imagination Tree. They're these super cool little elves that support building kindness throughout the season. So their mission is actually daily acts of kindness. So if you're looking to infuse some magic with a completely different take, that might be something worth exploring. All right, so we've talked a bit about some of the bigger pieces. What about books, movies, stories? So for those of you who are thinking, we've already been sharing the stories and been doing it the traditional way, is it too late? First, I want you to take a deep breath. We're all learning new things all the time. It teaches us and our children we can learn from the past and make changes for the future. It shows us that we are deep and caring people and that we truly want the best for our children and their development. In general, I'm a big fan of being transparent. I am a big fan of sharing our learning with our children. I think when we own change and share it forward, it's more resonating. Things like, I've been doing some thinking and I really want to focus our attention this holiday on kindness, on spreading joy. I want to find places where we can be helpful. I've noticed sometimes our traditions don't always support this, so it's time to make some changes. Things like focusing on the idea that Santa spreads joy and this makes people happy. Sharing gifts is fun, especially in the darkest days of winter. Great kids do unkind things sometimes, and we can fix unkindness and build skills without threats. There are families who need extra kindness at this time of year, so let's find ways of supporting them too. Now, what about older children? What kinds of things can we talk about with them? As you've noticed, I often start from a place of kindness because it promotes inclusion, right? Not only inclusion of people that may not believe in the same traditions, but also people who have different beliefs within the same system. To help support this conversation, I have slowly introduced my children to the role that marketing plays in the holidays. This has helped focus our conversations on what values we want to uphold during the period of time and which ones we actually need to be aware of. Traditions like Christmas, Halloween, and Valentine's, they all have a very real corporate component. Through our conversations on how to spread joy and kindness, we have also done some investigating into the history of certain traditions. For example, a few years ago, we investigated the role that Coca-Cola played in the person that many people come to see as Santa. For comparison, we then dug into the history of Christmas and St. Nicholas in Europe. In other words, we explored the tradition as if we were studying another culture. So even though it was a tradition that we were a part of, we took a sort of scientific historical approach to seeing how other people in other spaces celebrate the same type of tradition. This really opened up our conversation to talk about the good elements and also to talk about some of the things that are not so awesome. Here's some of the topics that came up. Why do we give and receive gifts? And what do we want that to mean? How do we want to define the spirit and magic of Christmas within our home? What are holiday lights for? How do we respect people who have different beliefs than ours? So through this lens, we were able to talk about how different people in different places have different values, beliefs, and part of kindness with our friends who believe differently is to respect them, not correct them. So I hope this conversation has given you a space to see that there can be balance, that we don't have to cast aside everything we know or do and put all new things in. That there is a way to rethink the narrative without losing sight of the story and the magic. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to subscribe so you'll be notified when future episodes launch. For information on how to connect with me, head to taragrotto.ca, or you can find me on Instagram at Raising Resilient Children. Until next time, thanks again for listening to the Raising Resilient Children podcast with Tara Grotto.